Rump steak. Purged aubergine.
Yes.
Egg. Frittata. Ah, trick question. That's an asthmatic rattlesnake. Okay. Vinyl.
What's cooking on 95BFM?
Chloe Swarbrick on the phone.
All the way from wherever Chloe lives, I assume.
Kia ora. I'm in Auckland Central, whānau. That's how we're running for this thing.
Are you sleeping in your at the spot where you're doing your like campaign, or you got like a little bunk bed up the top?
No, that would be quite strange. No, I am not sleeping there, but I do live near the office. I live just off of Kāranga Hape Road, so we're beaming in live from my kitchen. So I apologise for I didn't realise that the section was like the segment's literally called What's Cooking.
I know, it's so good, it's so perfect. What are you cooking?
It's all of the random dregs from my fridge. So it's an assortment of random vegetables with sesame oil and some cashews.
Oh, that'll come right.
So we've got beans in there, we got broccoli, maybe spinach, aubergine.
Good iron.
Purged aubergine.
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic.
Now, Chloe, you're running for Auckland Central. What are the key issues that are facing Central Aucklanders?
Oh, mate, it's kind of not facing Central Auckland. I mean, if you're talking about where I live, which, as I just said, you know, it's just off Kai Road, there's been a real change here to the street community. And what we're starting to see is that even though in that first kind of few days of the lockdown, we had a massive investment of funding to get people emergency housing, there wasn't the wraparound support available for folks who had never kind of had access to those kinds of homes or motels. But also, there wasn't that thinking about, you know, people actually still need a form of income. Mm. So folks would come out of those motels during the day to do quote-unquote work, obviously trying to drum up a few coins so that they could buy some kai, as well as obviously recreation and trying to, you know, operate in those alternative communities that so many folks have managed to create after being isolated by the systems and the institutions that are supposed to look after all of us. So homelessness and housing is a real big one. Mm-hmm. We also have one of the most transient populations in Auckland Central. Some recent data came out and showed that a huge number of folks who live here are actually in their home for less than a year, meaning that there's just such massive churn with people cycling in and out of rental properties.
Oh, yeah, I've experienced that for sure.
Yeah, yeah, mate. Well, this is like my fourth place that I've lived in around the city. I've lived on Simon Street. I've lived on Newton Road. Mm. I've lived on this place that I'm pretty sure would have been illegal for people to live in. That's like sliding off the back of a hill on the other side of Eden Terrace. So, it's a pretty dire situation out here for renters. So that, and then transport and
classic.
Just kind of basics, right? Making sure that people are able to survive, let alone thrive.
Okay.
Did you know about when Sydney was selling that monorail?
When Sydney was selling the monorail?
Yeah, they were getting rid of their monorail, and I was like, man, Auckland should definitely buy that monorail and just chuck it.
It sounds like the plot from The Simpsons, maybe.
It is. It absolutely is. That's why it just should have happened. It would have been fucking great. But it could have had a cool song. Everyone would have had cushy jobs.
Well, I mean, yeah.
There used to be a tram
exactly
that went around Central
Auckland.
That's
utopia is, right?
Yeah. Fuck, man. I really wish we got that monorail.
Now, Chloe, do you think that Central Aucklanders are going to vote on Central Auckland issues, or are they going to vote on sort of the bigger picture party issues? I feel like it's kind of hard if people, you know, vote one way. It might be kind of hard to sway them to vote on, you know, issues in their immediate area. People kind of at the moment, I guess with COVID, might be focusing on some of the bigger picture stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's about how those issues actually impact people's day-to-day lives. Mm. And I think one of the big lessons of COVID, right, is that community is really important. I was speaking actually to, just yesterday or the day before, some folks from the Mental Health Foundation who were saying, I mean, you guys might have seen it circulating around Twitter and a few other different social media outlets with some fake news about mental health stats during lockdown.
Fake news?
And yeah, fake news. Okay. So the kind of statements that were made without fact or any kind of evidential basis behind them, that people's mental health was getting worse. It's not. People, the silver lining, ironically, or rather kind of sadly, of COVID-19 is that a huge number of people who have traditionally been pushed to the margins of society and haven't felt like they belonged have felt like they are part of something bigger than themselves. And there's been a real focus on neighbourhoods and communities kind of coming together, this shared novel experience. So mental health has been a massive challenge in a very different way. But ultimately, that kind of shared experience and that kind of foundation of community, I think, has opened up a conversation about the things that we value as a society in a way that wasn't perhaps possible before.
Yeah.
And all the stuff that people have thought for ages was impossible, like housing the homeless or flexible working arrangements for parents or people with disabilities.
Yeah, a lot of people can work from home all of a sudden. I heard the suicide rate has actually dropped. Is that true?
Yep.
That's interesting, eh? Imagine if we shifted the focus from COVID to suicide, and then if the suicide rate goes up, we go back into a lockdown to solve that? That would be quite fascinating, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, that would be an interesting policy proposal. We're coming up with a Johnny and Big Hungry Party.
It's saving lives, man. Okay, sweet.
But, I mean, more than anything, right, it's just kind of a reminder of the things that matter.
Yeah.
And so often, like, this is the yarn that I end up having, and I was actually on this small business kind of panel earlier today with other candidates across Auckland Central, and there was all this conversation about GDP and all these other things that, you know, to a certain extent, if you want to talk about retaining the kinds of lifestyles and lives that we had before,
totally.
Pursue that as the kind of KPI, key performance indicator. But actually, I genuinely believe, and the stats show that, you know, the status quo, where we were at before COVID, wasn't working particularly well for particularly too many people.
Mm.
So I'm far more focused on how we can actually lean into some of these experiences that we've had, whilst also noting that people have had quite different and divergent experiences of the lockdown. You know, it's really, as, you know, Iona Holstead, who's the Secretary of Education, the Ministry of Education, said, COVID-19 didn't create inequality. If anything, it just exposed it.
Mm. True that. Hey, should we get a track under our belt? You've given us a few songs that basically you're just listening to that you're vibing on.
Yeah, I think it was just the top of my Spotify.
Yeah, that's
moment,
great.
So
that's great.
I'm not by my computer, so I've got no idea what I see.
Well, we've got, you sent us some Anthony Tonham, some Sid, some Bailey Wiley, and some FKA Twigs. So nice little range. Where did you want to go first?
We'll go Anthony, because, I mean, that makes sense. I think it's the railway line.
Mm.
It's a banger of a tune. Also, it has some great features about local government and communities coming together.
He's very conscious.
So why not?
This is a fantastic song.
We love poetry, mate.
I love it. I love the song. He's so
you
good.
You love Anthony Tonham.
I do. I love him. He's fantastic.
He actually came into my parliamentary office once, because the guy lives in Whanganui, and he came in very earnestly and amazingly and gave me a presentation on his laptop about what we needed to do with rail and Whanganui and around the North Island. So, I really appreciate a dude who is not just doing this stuff in his music and his art, but he's really practicing what he preaches, hey.
All right, here we go.
John just giggles on his saucer. He's visiting from Australia. Come home cup of tea and to borrow your car, and you say, son, what's your speed on the main street? They should have kept in the crossing. They've turned walkers into targets out there. Still it seems better now. Better now you're all the way great.
their money from developers, their people at the papers. They turned your own family against you. Still, you didn't hold it against the kids when they begged to move away. 'Cause you were born before the motorway.
He really sort of leans into it in the end there, doesn't he?
Mm. We've got Chloe Schwalbrook on the phone, Green MP for Auckland Central. Come in, Chloe.
Shoulder.
Yo.
I'm cutting some mushrooms now.
I was just about to ask where the dinner was at.
The full kind of immersive experience.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Hey, Chloe, at this general election, people get to vote on legalising cannabis for adult use, recreational use, R20. It's kind of a big issue, and it sort of feels like some of the momentum for the Yes campaign has sort of ebbed away in the last few months. How are you feeling as an MP? Do you have any inkling as to how the public are going to vote on this issue? And if they're to vote yes, what are the compelling reasons for voting yes?
Oh, mate, how long have we got?
Top three reasons,
firstly, that it opens up the opportunity to grapple with the reality that cannabis exists and to reduce harm in communities. So that's the first one. The second one is the opportunity, again, that it opens to properly educate our kids. I really actually liken this to the situation that we had, you know, a decade plus ago, where we in school classrooms taught abstinence-based education, and, you know, people were still engaging in underage, you know, sex. And we had, you know, higher rates of teen pregnancy and a raft of other issues associated with it. So we've kind of got with the times and recognized the reality of what happens. And we have created harm minimization frameworks around that and educated people about the genuine risks and why they should delay. And younger people respect that when they are treated like adults. So actual education. And the third is probably actually the revenues that it'll generate for us to be able to do things like fund our local schools, our hospitals, our mental health and addiction services. But I really don't, you know, want to overplay that or put that forward as an argument, because I found oftentimes the people who make economic arguments don't actually care all too much about what the economy is. And the economy is all of us and the resources that we have and how we choose to use those. Right now, for example, in the policing of cannabis prohibition, we are throwing approximately $90 million a year down the drain to give convictions to 1,300 Māori, to drag them through the court system and to effectively waste everybody's time when we know for a fact that 80% of the population will use cannabis by the time they're 21 years old. But there's no rule of law there because that law is not being applied proportionately to everyone.
Hmm. It's just on the people voting. One thing I've kind of noticed is users of cannabis and people that love it, I think there's actually a little bit of a groundswell of those people that don't actually want it to be legalized because they feel like the government's going to mess up their whole buzz and they're already able to get their weed. What would you say to those people? Because I actually feel like, you know, there's probably more of those people listening to us right now.
Yeah, people existing in the underground.
And they're easier for
market.
Us to talk to than the people that I can't get to, you know, you grey powers and whatnot. Like, they're not in my circles, you know? So what would you say to those people?
I think the first thing would be, to a certain extent, you know, check your privilege, bro. Like, the fact that you are not being criminalized or subjected to the criminal system is probably indicative of the fact that it's working all G for you. Mm. But think about people who it's not working all good for. On top of that, you know, if you're talking about the experience that certain people will have coming up against a legal system versus an illegal system, one of the first experiences, and literally the first week of cannabis legalization in Canada, there was a product withdrawal of tons and tons of cannabis, dried cannabis, from the market because it has a mold on it.
Right.
That's something which can cause, obviously, associated respiratory issues. And it's just totally not something that would ever get picked up on the black market. So it's also to do with kind of product quality and the information that you have around what you're actually consuming. Mm. But on top of that, if you're currently not being criminalized, you know, hey, good for you. You're one of the 11% of the population right now who's using regularly, between 350 to 550,000 New Zealanders on like a weekly basis. But you're also not the people who, you know, the law is always going to work well for certain groups of people. And when the law is not working well for particularly marginalized communities, then maybe we need to actually reevaluate that, because your experience, if you're not currently being criminalized, is actually only going to get a little bit better under legalization.
It's very narrow, isn't it, thinking that way?
What's the key thing that might convince an elderly voter to vote yes in this referendum?
I reckon we need to take them the bud and show them the plant, because I've from my memory, grandparents and that always have the raddest gardens, and I think they would really appreciate, like, we should be going around to old folks' homes and like showing them a real mint bud and going, look at this.
I also didn't mean to sound ageist then.
Well,
perhaps
you need to be careful with that, mate. I once did a meme in Parliament, and like, according to Fox News, I'm responsible for intergenerational warfare.
Yeah.
But I think that the argument that actually works the best, right? A whole bunch of folks, like, you've got family first, who, you know, it's been on the wrong side of history on pretty much everything. You know, they don't want me to have, for example, control of my uterus or to be able to marry the woman that I love.
Mm.
So, you know, opposed gay marriage and obviously safe legal access to abortion. They also actually were on the wrong side of history in terms of being opposed to anti-smacking in the early 2000s. These guys have constantly lost, but they play these really moralizing campaigns that skew facts. And they now have a kind of campaign called Say Nope to Dope. And I would highly recommend that folks who are actually interested in this look into it, because they're also associated to the front for the Church of Scientology. This sounds out the gate.
The rabbit
it's
hole.
Real.
Yes.
It's this group called Drug Free World, who basically, again, are really hell-bent on moralizing and, you know, controlling people's decisions and blah, 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 and having, you know, a very conservative society that pretends that these issues don't exist and push people who have issues into the shadows. But all of that, like, even the very notion of the rhetoric, Say Nope to Dope, is predicated on some kind of reality or some kind of mythology that we're actually debating whether cannabis should exist. We're not. We're debating how people get access to cannabis. We're debating whether younger people should have brazen, fully-fledged kind of free-for-all that is the black market where, you know, tiny houses aren't checking ID, or there should be greater kind of control over that supply chain. And we are making a conscious decision as a society about whether we want to grapple with the reality that some of the issues that some of us have seen associated to cannabis have all happened under criminal prohibition. Mm-hmm. So if we want to be grown-ups and deal with that, then we need to take it out of the shadows and put it into the light.
Fair enough. Karate chop comment. Hey, should we let's hit a track. Let's get some musical relief and then we'll come back for another quick chat. What should we go? Should we go Bailey Wiley FKA or Sid? And why?
We'll switch it up with an international here.
Okay.
And then we'll go back local.
So FKA?
Yes, let's do that.
I'm so wide, fought it, seen it, tried it, I die, fully on my toes, when I get my lessons, learned apples, cherries, pain, breathing, pain, no, Novocaine, still mean to my grace, how come the more you have, the more the people want from you? More you burn away, the more that people earn from you. More you pull away, the more that they depend on you. I never seen a hero like me in a sci-fi. So I wonder if you need to re-remember me. I wonder if you think that I can ever raise you up. I wonder if you think that I can ever help you fly. Never seen a hero like me in a sci-fi.
FK Twigs right there, home with you. We are home with Chloe Swarbrick as she's making dinner. You must be close.
Close, but I'm like trying to keep the noise down, so I've put it on a low heat and I'm trying not to use the overhead fan too much. In my apartment, the first two like little knobs on it are broken, so it's either no fan or like I'm in a helicopter.
Low and slow is probably the best way to cook, so. Hey, right off the bat, I've got a hard-hitting question. Is there a dress code in Parliament?
Yes, bro.
Is it like golf? You got to wear a polo shirt, or what's the...
No, if you're a dude, you have to wear a tie.
For real?
So so the Speaker's rulings in Parliament say that you have to wear quote-unquote business attire, and I've been really interested in actually pushing the boundaries of what that means.
Yeah, I'm an entrepreneur. That's like no tie, definitely, right?
Oh, totally. So, like, I've been wearing sneakers in Parliament and just waiting for somebody like Seymour to call me out, by which point I'll get to say, I have run a business, my friend.
Yeah.
This is exactly what I wore. But, it's just kind of also always that balance of, like, do you really want to be the entitled so-and-so who's, like, booted out of Parliament just because you're not following the rules like everyone else?
True.
Give me a balance.
Fair enough.
Thanks, yeah. Chloe, as you are having dinner, which politician out of all of the politicians in Parliament sitting currently would you invite round to your house for dinner?
Right now it would be Mortimer, and you're not allowed to say that I cheated because you didn't say that they had to be from the opposition.
That's a good point.
She's a good time. She is good on the yarns, and she's actually in Wellington right now because the House had its final sitting day today. So it'd be nice to recall her from Parliament, from Wellington.
We were kind of hoping that you would say Winston Peters.
I've been in the elevator with that guy before.
That's as close as it gets.
I actually reckon he's an introvert. That's my hot take.
You reckon? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that he's one of those, like, politics is, the way my partner always says it, and this is, obviously not particularly politically correct, but politics is Hollywood for ugly people. And all of us are basically just, like, these A-type personalities who, now very studiously trying to wedge one's way into the media or whatever else. Mm. But, yeah, he's definitely really good at putting forward a performance and a persona, but... I don't know if anyone really knows what that guy thinks and what he feels.
True, right? He is the quintessential
politician.
Yeah.
I think
which is terrifying.
Obviously, he's like a smooth operator.
Which is terrifying.
But yeah, it'd be hard to know where he actually stands on things.
We really want to get him up here just to see how that would play out.
Everything's got a referendum.
Yeah, that's actually one of my more annoying points of this cannabis referendum, the fact that we're even having a referendum. And
and
it's kind of being spun like it's like, yeah, you know, you get to choose. And it's like, well, the statistics are out there. We don't need to, you know.
Why did the government decide to go to referendum and not just push it through?
Because of numbers. So, I mean, I'll give you one of the best insights into politics. And that's what practically makes sense versus what is politically possible are two very divergent and different things. Mm. So, the Greens are 8 out of 120 MPs in Parliament, and there's a whole lot of things that we would do that we've had independently costed to, for example, fix the criminal justice system, fix the housing system, fix the kind of wealth disparity that we've recently seen reported in The Guardian, to fix the so-called war on drugs so that people who need help can get it and other adults can make sensible decisions based on information that's readily available about what they put into their bodies. But there's a whole bunch of people kind of in the way who are effectively really keen on keeping their head down, retaining the status quo and fighting any form of change possible so that they can retain power. From that comes fear.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the move to a referendum was the closest that we could get to any form of change. And to be perfectly honest with you, like, speaking with people like Nandor Tanksos, who, you know, was a former Green MP and the person who first very publicly put this on the issue, obviously is a very public Rastafari.
Mm.
He is, albeit frustrated at the reality that we're having to go through a very public discourse about people's humanity and the substances that they choose or whatever else, the fact that we've got some movement on it is really damn important. And I also think if you look at the ways that the dialogue as a country has shifted and evolved and I would say matured over the past 3 years, I'm actually to a certain extent kind of thankful for that silver lining, because if the government had just moved ahead and done it, I mean, definitely we'd have a similar kind of situation to Canada where
over time, people come to accept and agree that it was the best thing to do after it's happened. Mm. But the kind of pushback and moralizing that you face when you are trying to push through that kind of change can just be so dang hard. So getting the mandate of the people, which I'm really hoping we do get, and that's why it's so important that everybody votes.
Yep.
I know that people hate politics, but do not leave politics to the politicians, because then it gets worse. That's why you need to vote.
Yeah, I don't want to be alarmist, but how long do you think this issue would get pushed back if people don't enroll to vote and vote on this issue and say it didn't pass? Nope. Would it be another 10 years, 20 years?
Dude, easily. I like, just speaking very personally, the challenge to even begin to instigate this public dialogue, to get other politicians to do things even though they're unwilling to speak publicly on it, has been a nightmare of the greatest proportion.
Yeah.
And just is, you know, the perception that the public didn't want it or wasn't ready for it, even though I know for a fact that the majority of politicians behind closed doors hold the opinion that it just needs to go through, they just would not stick their neck out and do the controversial thing.
Sucks how people do that.
You can put it like this, I guess. Do you reckon we're going to change the flag anytime soon? You know?
But that was dumb. I know, that was not a
good use of money. That was just a personal...
How scarred is everyone? Yeah. Shit. Hey, Chloe, how does the next month or so sort of play out for you? What's
Oh, it's wild. We had all of these really cool events kind of lined up. We actually had a drag show that was supposed to be happening next week, but obviously it's not, given we're not in the kind of level one scenario. Mm-hmm. And also had a bunch of like ideas around gigs and other things. Like, I was really looking forward to the Others Way this Friday.
Yeah.
But given the circumstances that we're in, obviously not just domestically but globally, we're having to find new ways to campaign. And I guess for me, the real weird thing is that I actually wouldn't be a politician in the first place if it wasn't for the ability to kind of subvert mainstream media through connecting with people directly on social media. Mm. Obviously cognizant of now how that can be used by some pretty dark actors. Mm. But social media has become a really important component of this. So trying to find ways to connect with folks through, I don't know, video or just answering their questions online or whatever else. It's a new way to try and formulate that semblance of community. But I can't wait till we can get back out to do things like door knocking and street meetings. And, yeah, I'd just love to go to a gig again. I don't know. The best was the first one that I went to at the power station out of lockdown. And, oh, my God, it's so wild to think that we had about 1,000 people jammed in there.
True. Yeah, that would have been a goodie. Well, look, we should let you go. Keep up the fantastic work, of course, and we'd love to maybe chat with you again before this vote goes down, actually. Might be nice. Hey,
John. You got it, Tim. Yeah. Done deal.
Okay.
Brilliant. What should we go out on, Bailey Wiley or the Sid?
I think it's got to be Bailey. Bailey's been such a big-time supporter of me, and I'm a big-time supporter of her. This is a classic.
Right on. Thank you so much, Chloe. You're a legend. Keep up the good work.
Maynard, love your work, boys. Catch you later.
Peace.
Shattered in the colors off, so who the fuck I do this for? Homie, I ain't afraid. all that make it count. I let you go. Take it from me, ain't nobody told me like that. Take it from me, ain't nobody.
That was What's Cooking on 95 BFM.